Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. At 38 minutes, it was one of the longest aerial dogfights in military history, yet pilot Royce Williams was ordered to keep the story secret for decades. At last, he can speak freely. South Dakota Public Broadcasting joins forces with the Distinguished Flying Cross Society and Old Guys and Their Airplanes for a debrief next Tuesday, December 1st at 11 a.m. Central, 10 Mountain. The event is entitled Actions Speak Louder Than Medals, and it's free to the public. You can log on, ask questions at sdpb.org/OGTADebrief. As Royce Williams tells the story, he has held silent for more than 60 years. Joining us from Old Guys and Their Airplanes is host, writer, and artist John Mollison. Welcome back, John.
Nice to hear your voice, Lori.
Also with us, editor and camera operator Rick Lingberg. Welcome, Rick. We'll start with you, John. Tell us a little bit about Royce Williams, South Dakota. Born or raised?
Yeah. Oh,
tell us, yeah.
Yeah, born, South Dakota, born and raised. It's yet another one of those stories about how our state has somehow, some way, birthed these people that can go into history and just accomplish themselves in huge ways. He was born in Wilmot, raised in Wilmot, and then in World War II, in 1942, he joins the Army and then ends up transferring to the Navy and became like anybody else of that generation, just somebody who wanted to serve his country. However, his moment of his crucible, so to speak, is when he was in the Korean War, and he was flying F-9F Panthers off the carrier, the USS Oriskany. And in 1952, November 18th, so it's almost, doing my quick math here, was that 70 years ago today? Or relatively close to 70 years, 69 years. He took off on a mission just to fly CAP, Combat Air Patrol, over the Oriskany, and ended up tangling with seven Russian-flown MiG-15s that came from Russia. Now, there's some significance about that, but I won't nerd out too much. I don't know. We only have so much time here to talk about this, Lori. But bottom line, he got into a dogfight with one of his Grumman. He was flying a Grumman F-9F Panther and got into a dogfight and ended up coming out on top, 1-7.
Why was this considered a mission that has had to be kept secret for so long?
Well, that's a great question, because at the time, you might, if you're a history geek, you'll know that we were embroiled in the Korean War. And the Korean War was, by some people, it was a proxy war, or the U.S. against the Russians. But politically, we couldn't handle it that way. It was actually a civil war. North Korea invaded South Korea, and the United States was part of a police action to restore order in Korea. And we ended up being militarily involved, and the Russians were also involved. But you couldn't really have an overt clash between the United States and Russia for fears that it would lead to World War III. So when Royce Williams found himself with Russian fighters, and by the way, the Russians did fire first, and he came back and he absolutely prevailed, there were all kinds of reasons that our political party, leaders and military leaders wanted to keep that dogfight secret. And the cool thing about it is, at least I think is the real cool thing about this story, is that not only did Royce prevail, but when he came back to the airplane, brought his wounded Panther aboard and, basically got out of it with the skin of his teeth, he was told to keep it quiet, and Royce had no problem keeping that quiet, even from his wife. And it was only, 50-some years later that Royce was allowed to talk about it. And now he talks about it like it was kind of no big deal, but he does understand the significance of the moment. Essentially, though, answering your question, the reason that it was kept secret is just to keep it from turning it into more of a reason for the world to go to war.
Yeah. To your knowledge or to his knowledge, did the Russians keep it secret as well?
That's a very, very good question. Well, the Russians have, they obviously kept note of what happens. You don't send up seven of your top number one fighter planes and then have, you know, depending upon which part of history you believe, one, two, or three return. But they did record the history. They did keep it quiet themselves, possibly for different reasons other than keeping world peace. I mean, probably wanted to keep it quiet because they got beaten up pretty badly, especially that Royce was flying an airplane of significantly poorer performance. But yeah, we know at least four of the pilots who were killed during that dogfight, and four of the Russian pilots. So the Russians do know about it. And they kept records.
Mm. I think we have Rick Lingberg with us now. Hey, Rick.
I'm back online. Thank you.
We're talking about Royce and sort of how the history unfolded, but you've already sat down with him. Tell us a little bit about some of your work and how it intersects with this project, please, Rick.
Well, you know, in working with a lot of these brave pilots, a common theme in their stories is overcoming adversity. In fact, one of the stories we did with a ex-POW from Vietnam was with Charlie Plum, and Charlie always said to us, adversity is a horrible thing to waste. Well, this spring we ran into our own adversity, and our filming operation was shut down because of the pandemic. And we thought, what are we going to do now? You know, we've been shooting these things and putting them together and getting them distributed through various platforms, social media, Vimeo, YouTube, and those sorts of things. But now we couldn't travel, we couldn't produce the shows, or what are we going to do? The simple question came up was, and we really didn't know where it was going to take us, but we said, could we do something with this Zoom stuff? You know, so could we somehow bring these stories and these messages to us? So, like a lot of things, we just have to try it and see what happens. And so with our connections with the Distinguished Flying Cross Society, we lined up to do a show and to bring a pilot in. I think he was in North Carolina, and we did a Zoom show. We had about 80 people that had signed up to be a part of this debrief, we call them. And we thought, well, it worked. You know, we kind of felt like the Wright brothers. You know, how is this thing going to work? You know, we didn't want too big of a crowd because if the plane crashes, that's the worst thing that can happen to you. But actually, the darn thing flew. And the Distinguished Flying Cross, they kind of liked the idea. They said, let's try another one. So we did. And this time, I believe our pilot was in Arizona. We brought him in. That was Bruce Huffman, a Vietnam helicopter pilot. He had a great show. Had about 125 people that showed up. Well, at this time, then the next thing was we got hooked up with South Dakota Public Television. You know, could we partner with them, or Public Broadcasting, excuse me, could we partner with them in some way and take this up to another step? And so we put another show together, partnered with Public Broadcasting to put it on their platform. And within 48 hours, we had somewhere between 9,000 and 10,000 people that viewed our show. So
that's a little more than that.
I want to jump in here. I'm going to jump in here. And John, tell us a little bit about this debrief with Royce and how people can participate in it next week.
Yeah, isn't it great?
What's going to happen? Yeah.
On the phone. Yeah, okay. It's really cool. We're going to be at the San Diego Air and Space Museum. Royce Williams today lives north of San Diego in a town called Escondido. But we're going to be doing the debrief in the museum. The museum is closed, but they're opening it up to us because we can handle our debrief in a COVID-friendly fashion. And Royce and I will be handling a normal debrief interview, but we'll also be having Q&A from the audience. And that's pretty cool. That's something that actually you guys, South Dakota Public Broadcasting, are managing for us. And your system is brilliant. Another plug for our state's public broadcasting. We have the best in the country. But it'll be at staggered times in the morning. And the reason we're doing it in the morning is because we want teachers and educators and group leaders to be able to bring it to their classrooms or boardrooms. And I believe for Central Time, it's 1100, which is 11 o'clock. And out there, we're going to be starting it at 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's really just simply going to the link, sdpb.org/OGTA debrief. And on the day of the show, and then just tuning in. And I believe it's going to be Facebook streamed on Facebook Live and also YouTube Live as well.
And John, is there a film available now as well about Royce's story? Is that coming?
No, not available now, but hopefully we'll have that all ready to go in the show. And it'll probably be 10 to 15 minutes, and we'll kick off our interview on the second with that little show. And it's going to involve some footage we already did of Royce last month in San Diego.
Okay. So just in our remaining, 30 seconds or so, John, he's 95 years old. This is an opportunity to hear a story that is, we don't have much time to capture some of these stories. And so say a little something about that in just a few seconds.
Yeah, we have a saying, when an old man dies, a library burns. And, it's one thing to hear these stories when somebody's 20, 30, 40 years of age, but it's a total different thing when they're 80, 90 years old. They're still with it. They're still able to tell the story. It's just powerful.
John Mollison, Rick Lingberg, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you, Lori.